It's kind of neat to think that when the pilgrims came over to America, the first things they were focused on were survival. We have to have food immediately. We have to start thinking about crops a year from now. We have to have a home, some kind of protection from the elements. We have to start thinking about replacing clothing and other essentials. We have to start thinking about where we're going to worship. How are we going to create government? So you can imagine the first few years, how much was involved in establishing a foundation of a civilization. But you know what happened about 17 years in? Most of those things were now well underway. And they began to think about, we really only have a few scholars among us. And in their day and time, the scholarly were generally the preachers. And they would stand not only before the congregation and generally knew more than most so far as academically, but they also knew other areas. Oftentimes, they would be the ones to help educate, and especially higher areas of education. And so it's interesting to read some of their early quotes because they became very concerned about what are we going to do when they die? We have no one to perpetuate this scholarship. We're going to have a civilization that's going to be degraded in scholarship. And so they decided to do something about it. Do you remember what they did about it? They started an institution. You probably have heard of it. Its name was Harvard. And we know it now today as Harvard University. And when you read their mission statement from back in those days, it was definitely a devotion to God through Jesus Christ for that kind of scholarship where Christ would be the authority and all areas would be studied and understood through the lenses of Scripture. Do you know that of the next 106 colleges that were started in America, 103 of them were started by those that wanted to advance Christian principles in higher education? Can you imagine today walking into some of those schools like Yale and Princeton? Can you imagine walking into those classes and saying, glad to be in this biology class. I'd like for you to help me to understand biology through the lenses of Scripture and the Almighty Creator. Can you imagine how you would be laughed and mocked out of that classroom? I talked on this trek just a few days ago with one of our alumnus. She's a sweet young lady. She's in her, just getting into her mid-20s, probably about 23 or 24, really. And she was one of our brilliant, brilliant students. And she's now studying in Auburn University for her PhD in the area of biology and physics. And when I asked her how it was going, I knew academically it was going to be going well because she is top notch. And I said, but like, how's it going? And she said, it's been tough at times. You know, I'm a Christian and I'm going to stand for Christianity. But to be in a PhD program at a university like that, it can really be challenging because it's going to be a mockery. Isn't it amazing to think how universities across the land have lost their mission? Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about the fact, but it's never easy in life to keep the main thing being the main thing. It's amazing how quickly institutions will lose sight of their mission. I want to read you a quote that is exactly 6 days shy of being 110 years old. Isn't that neat? This quote was written by A.G. Freed. That's the part of Freed Hardeman, A.G. Freed and N.B. Hardeman. A.G. Freed wrote this, or he was quoted in a Gospel Advocate article almost exactly 110 years ago. And he was talking about the work at Freed Hardeman. And he said, "Brother Hardeman and I are making this the work of our lives. Our great objective is to plant a permanent institution where the youth of our country may secure a thorough education under the influence of primitive Christianity. The Lord has blessed our labors. With Him we shall succeed." I love that quote because it points in very general terms to so many specific things that we're still about today. When he speaks of himself and Hardeman making this the work of their life, I want to tell you that there are faculty and staff and administration ever since that time that have never ceased making this the work of their life. As a matter of fact, we have far more full-time faculty devoted to undergraduate work than most universities across the nation. So many of those classes are taught by graduate students or by adjunct professors. Nothing wrong with either one of those, but it's just neither one of those are devoted to that institution wholly. Freed Hardeman has over 90% of their undergraduate classes taught by full-time faculty. So when we think about him saying, "We have devoted our lives to this work." Just being back on campus now for about 7 months, I am constantly reminded of how many individuals have wholly devoted themselves to this work. We have one of our young men and let me just tell you the point I'm making. We have young faculty right now that could teach almost anywhere in the nation because of their scholarship. But yet, they believe in the mission of Freed Hardeman. I was talking to one of the younger Bible faculty that we have right now that's one of our premier scholars. And I knew that he was well known in the scholarly circles. And I knew that because someone else had told me that even many of the Ivy League professors in theology are reading his works. And I was talking with him and he said, "Sure, I could go other places." And he's talking Ivy League places. He says, "Sure, I could go other places." He said, and I had to wrestle with that. He said, "You know, when you devote your life to something." He said, "I've devoted my life to being a scholar. And now you have the opportunity to be at what many would look at as a premier Ivy League school." And he said, "You know, but what I have to constantly come back to is I do not agree with their mission." And he says, "I line up wholeheartedly, 100% with the mission of Freed Hardeman University." He said, "I want to advance the kingdom." We have young professors in business, in biology, in education, all across the board that are constantly receiving requests to go other places and make more money. And there's one thing that keeps them there. They believe in the mission to be a part of a work that grows the whole person, not just the mind, although that is important, but it's also growing the heart and growing the relational and the spiritual part of the individual, the heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so we love that mission, and he makes reference of that. But did you notice also, he talked about the fact that he's dedicated to that Christian education, to that primitive Christian education. When I think about Freed Hardeman University, I think of many ways that she could be described. But oftentimes, I only have times like this where I have a limited few minutes to describe. And so let me give you two words that are really great words to describe Freed Hardeman University. Christian education. Those are two great words to describe who we are. We are unapologetically Christian. We love the fact that we are associated with the churches of Christ. We love the Lord. We love His church. As a matter of fact, 83% of our young people are members of the Church of Christ. We have chapel every day. Every student has a collegiate Bible class every semester. There are devotionals on campus all throughout the week. Many of the devotionals in chapel and many of those devotionals through the week are student-led. We have young men that are amazing song leaders, amazing speakers. And when the girls have their devotional period, we have young ladies that are deep spiritually and very capable to encourage and instruct their peers. We are blessed to have not only those opportunities in devotionals and classes, but remember I said that 83% are Christians, they're members of the churches of Christ. That means that wherever you go on campus, that is the environment. Christianity is the environment because the majority there, that's who they are. And so whether it's in the dorm room or if it's in intramurals or it's in social club activities, wherever it is, there is that wonderful culture of individuals that believe Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, that the Bible is truly inspired, infallible, inerrant, and that the church is the body of Christ, and that it is of a great priority, and that the only hope that we have is through Christ, and because of God's great love, grace, and the rich mercy that He offers. And so we think about that blessing of being a place that is Christian. Before I leave that, let me give you one little tidbit that we just had this report recently. You know, because of our accreditation, SACS accreditation, which that's the accreditation that accredits all of the universities and colleges across the Southeast, the big ones that are 40,000 in size and the small ones that are just a couple hundred in size, and then all of us that are in between that. And so there are a lot of continual evaluations and reports that we have to give. Well, one of the things that is a part of accreditation is whether or not you honor your mission. Well, of course, our mission statement reflects that we are a Christian university and that we expect our young people to grow in Christian faith and in service. That's a part of our mission statement. So that means SACS is going to come to us, the accreditation agency, and they're going to say, prove to us how you honor this, and then show us the success rate. And that's literally a part of our accreditation. So the other day, one of the things that we did to prove that there is success in this is we went to our graduates that had been graduated one full year, and we asked them, how frequently do you attend worship and Bible classes? Now, I want to interrupt this and give you a reminder. You know that when our young people turn 18, we tend to lose 50% of them. And so that means you would expect by the time you're asking 22 and 23-year-olds, how often do you go to services, you would, based on the national average, you would only expect about 30 or 40, 45% of them to say, I go most of the time, because that's the national average. And you'd expect about 55 to 60 to say, I don't go. And so we went to our students and we asked them. And I could give you both sets of numbers, but let me give you the sets of numbers since we're talking about the church right here. Let me give you the set of numbers for those that are members of the church. Remember I told you 83% were members of the church. And so we went and in that survey, we found out which ones were members of the church, and we have the ones that are unchurched and how often they went to, but that doesn't pertain to the illustration I'm giving you. And so now the question is, at the time that over 50% of their peers are falling away, how are these young people going to be doing in a different environment? And what we found out was that still a year after college, 92% were still going to church almost all the time. About 85, and I don't remember the exact number, somewhere around 85% of that 92 said, I go every time the doors are open. I just want to let that sink in. What I've just described to you is a greenhouse. Our young people are probably the most volatile of losing their faith between the ages of 18 and 22 than they ever will be in their life. And if you have a young, tender plant and you could put it out into a desert where you know that it's probably going to have a failure rate of about 70%, or you could put it into an environment that is designed to strengthen their faith, and the success rate would be about 92%. Now we're talking value. What is a soul worth? Ask the Lord that. What if a man exchanged the whole world for his soul? Jesus taught that that'd be a bad exchange. And so I just want to plant the seed in your mind that when individuals talk about the cost of Christian education, I'd like to flip that card around and say, can you afford the cost of other education? Because we could talk about expense, or we could talk about value. And there is a value that is proven statistically that is of a high and great value. And I want to kind of back out of this at this point by saying, I'm not suggesting to you that our young people, wherever they go in their life at 18 years of age, that they should fall away. And I'm not suggesting to you that it brings any pleasure to me. If you've ever heard me speak many times on seminars and conferences, before I had any inkling in my mind that I would ever be in the position that I am today, I spoke regularly on what we as the kingdom need to do to strengthen the spiritual lives of our young people between the ages of 18 and 22 when we are losing them en masse. Did you know that in the churches of Christ, that of our young people that go to a state university, they never go to church once? The statistic is 85%. They come every day, every Sunday, every Wednesday until they graduate, until they leave home, and they go to a university and never go once until they come back home at Thanksgiving, Christmas, spring break. 85% never go once. I'm not saying it should be that way. I'm just saying to us as moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers, and some uncles and aunts with some extra cash, I'm saying to those of you that you know good and well, you ended 2 months ago looking at your portfolio, looking at next year's filing the taxes, and you were saying to yourself, we need to do something with, and fill in the blank. We need to do something with $25,000 before we file our taxes. We need to do something with $50,000 before we file our taxes. You want to make a difference in someone's soul? Help a young person go to a Christian university. And the statistical odds are amazing at the difference that you'll make in their life. So how would I describe Fried Hardeman University? One, I describe it as Christian. But two, I describe it as education. We are a place of higher learning. We're a place that offers undergraduate degrees. 50 different areas of study. We're a place of many graduate degrees, and almost all of them are online. So you could be right here in this town and be a full-time student of Fried Hardeman University. And we also have a few doctorate programs that we are thankful that we offer those too, and much of those are online also. But let's think about this academics for just a moment. One of the things that has been sadly interesting is how many people believe that because it's a Christian school that you would have to sacrifice a little bit, and some believe a lot, to go there academically. And so they look at maybe a large state school and they say, well, you know, if you're really, really going to achieve academically, you're going to have to go to a school like that. And if I just might say to you, test it and see. You call any of your state schools and you, in whatever area you have interest, and see what their success rate is. And then call Fried Hardeman and see what their success rate is. I think about a young girl that I was having a discussion with, and this is a few years ago. And it was about time for her sophomore year to begin at the largest state school in Tennessee. There's a close race on that. It might be the second now, but it's a really large state school in Tennessee. And she, I initiated nothing in this conversation. I initiated nothing. She was just talking to me and had tears in her eyes. And she was saying, I just dread so much. She said, when I come home this summer and I'm here, I'm really growing and thriving spiritually, but I know it's going to be just like my freshman year. I'm going to go back, and I just hope that I can stay alive spiritually. She said, I walk in at night, and I have to step over my roommate. She's drunk on the floor, and there's just all kind of stuff that's always going on. And she said, I can't believe that that's my life now. But she said, I want to be a doctor, and I know that this is what I have to do in order to be a doctor. And I said, wait a minute. You're telling me you don't want to go there? And she said, no. I said, I thought that like that's because your family were big UT fans and that's the only reason you were going there. And she said, oh no, I'm just going there because I know it's my best route to med school. And I said, oh no, it's not. And she said, what do you mean? I said, Fried Hardeman has a much higher acceptance rate into med school than University of Tennessee. And she looks at me and she's like, there is no way. I said, I promise you it does. And, you know, it blew her mind. And she said, okay, let's just say that you were telling the truth. Daddy would never believe it. And so he would never go for it. I said, okay, why don't you do this? I said, go home and you don't do this because your dad's not going to believe it. Get your dad to call UT and simply ask them a simple question. Call their admissions department and just ask them, what's your acceptance rate into med school? Then call Fried Hardeman and ask, what's your success rate into the approval of med school, of your pre-med graduates? And she said, okay. She only had a few weeks before school started. She said, I'm going to go talk to him right now. A few days later, she came back by and she was beaming. She said, Dad called. He couldn't believe it either. It's amazing how much better it is at Fried Hardeman. And you know what? We've already scheduled a campus visit and we're going there next week. I think I may be able to start this fall. And of course, she did. She loved it. She started. She's in medicine right now. She met a lot of Christian friends that today they're still close Christian friends. And one of those is her husband that is a faithful Christian. Let me give you some statistics and then I'll back up and tell you how it happens. Acceptance into professional schools of most schools is about 100%. Pre-law, acceptance to law school, 100%. Optometry, 100% acceptance. Pharmacy, 98% acceptance. About the national average in med school is about 70%. Fried Hardeman is 91%. And you say, okay, how does that happen? Well, let me describe to you a few other statistics. 100% of our faculty are faithful members of the Lord's church. In other words, they live their life based upon the principle to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, love their neighbor as their self. They truly love the students. When they say, you can come by my office, if you have questions, they mean you can come by my office. When our students send them an email, they're going to hear from someone that truly cares about them. Our faculty, 82% of them have their doctorate. That is far higher than a lot of universities across the country. We were much more like other universities across the country about 6 or 7 years ago when we were like 65%. But there has been a great interest to academic excellence in the last 7 or 8 years at Fried Hardeman. And so what has happened is that number has continually risen. I've already shared with you that 90% of our faculty and undergrad classes are full-time employees of Fried Hardeman. So let me throw in this stat, and then we'll kind of pull it into a summary. Also, our class sizes are about 13 to 1 of student-teacher ratio. So now think about this. You walk into a classroom, and there's only about 13 students, and the teacher is 100% devoted to God, 100% devoted to their field of study because they've reached the terminal degree. They're 100% devoted to the institution of Fried Hardeman because they're full-time employees there. And what does that do? It creates an environment where the very most can be pulled out of every student. In other words, the potential for the student really rests upon however much the student is willing to bring to the table and apply in life. That greenhouse effect is not only true in their spiritual lives, but that greenhouse effect is also true academically. Our students excel. And then you throw in engaged learning initiatives, like if you want to be in finance, we have a Clayton team where they manage a real $1 million a year. You don't find that in other universities, no matter how large or small they are. Every one of our participants that have participated on the Clayton team got their first job in finance because they were on the Clayton team. It's an unheard of opportunity. What we seek to do in that greenhouse is we seek to give everything that a young person needs to excel in their career. And we believe, just as A.G. Fried said 110 years ago, the Lord has blessed our labors. We realize that none of this is what we can glory in and say, look what we've done. Of the 14 institutions of higher learning across America that are associated with the Churches of Christ, we're the oldest. We've been doing it the longest. And we are very committed to the original mission when we identified ourselves as an institution that would be committed to primitive Christianity. And we're thankful for that. And we thank God for that. And we believe that with God, we truly shall succeed. If you would, open your Bible to Matthew, the 13th chapter. As you're turning there, let me invite you, after we dismiss, our little rig that we ride around in, we call it the MIC, M-I-C, Mobile Information Center. And the reason we have it is we found out if we have one mobile place that no matter where we go, it's always set up the same. And if we're at a city park, or if we're at a church building, or if we're at a school like we were earlier today, or if we're tailgating at a football game, no matter where we go, we have everything we need and it's all set up. Well, here we are tonight, and in beautiful Florida weather. I stepped out of the MIC today and we looked around and we were just soaking in the sun. We had, this past week, we had three nights in a row where the low was like 4, 5, and 6 degrees. There was snow on the ground. And we're stepping out in 70-degree bright sunshine. We hadn't had bright sunshine, and I don't remember the last time. And we stepped out, and I said to them, I said, I could get used to living in Florida. I mean, like, and one of them made a joke and said, maybe we could have a satellite campus of Fried Hardeman in Florida. I'm like, I like the way you're thinking. All right, so let me tell you real quick about what we would like for you to do. Here we are in the beautiful state of Florida, and the MIC is set up just like it would be anywhere. And what that means is we just want the opportunity to shake hands with you and exchange names and get a smile from your face. So how do you get a smile from someone's face? We figured this out, okay? You give them a glass bottle Coca-Cola that's been iced down. And so you walk out there, there's going to be a little glass bottle Coca-Cola, and there's one for everybody. And you'll smile. And we will have accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. Well, I know, not everybody. Because I know in any crowd this size, there's some hard-hearted, crusted people. And so for those of you that's a little bit harder to reach, not only can you have a Coke, but we also brought some mini, M-I-N-I. Now, we brought mini, M-A-N-Y, too. But we brought mini moon pies from Tennessee. You know those are made in Tennessee. And so we brought you, and there's several flavors, and you can pick up a Coca-Cola and a glass bottle and a moon pie. And so we want to greet you and say hello to you. I know there's still somebody in here saying, well, I won't be going by there. Okay, this is our final offer, okay? Here's our final offer. We have for you bacon on a stick. We really do. And so afterwards, just pass by the mic and just smile. Pass by the mic and just enjoy a few moments of getting whatever you want there. But we really would love to answer questions and help you and encourage you with anything that you might have a concern with about Fried Hardeman. I love Matthew the 13th chapter because in a way it's all about what we're about also at Fried Hardeman. You know, we're very much aware at Fried Hardeman that we're not the church. A Christian university is not the church, although so many that are part of that university are members of the Lord's church. But there is a real partnership that exists. You might even say it's kind of like an unwritten partnership that has existed for decades between us and the church. And it's a partnership in simple principle is that we want to be a good resource to the church. You see, the unwritten partnership might sound something like this. You have invested your all into these young people from the day they were born. You've done everything you could do to strengthen them and to prepare them academically and in faith and in spirituality. But at 18, many of them are going to leave home and leave the home congregation. And we have this unwritten partnership that says, we'll partner with you in the life of that young person. All the things you have wanted for them in those 18 years are exactly the same things we want. We want them to be safe. You hear that shooting today? You and I know that we can't control what everybody's going to do, but you and I also know when somebody cares or not. Those are the type things that we sit around and we have meetings to talk about what we can do to make sure that we are doing everything we can do to keep our young people safe. You want them to excel academically? I've told you the many things that we do. We even have special tutoring programs that are free of charge, that if someone comes in and their GPA is a little bit low and their ACT is a little bit low, we're literally going to start meeting with them before they start having any kind of problems. And we're going to meet with them because we want them to succeed. The same thing that you want for them spiritually, we want. Listen, this is very important to me that you hear this. We do not count success if they just survive by the time they're 22. For us, it's not success unless they are growing and thriving by the time they reach 22. I believe God designed for every age individuals to thrive spiritually. And we're going to give them an environment that allows them to thrive. Well, what was Matthew 13 about? Matthew, the 13th chapter, is about the kingdom. And there are many short parables. And these parables are about how the kingdom of heaven, and then just kind of fill in the blank. Each parable is something different. So in the last 4 minutes I have, I want you to look with me in 31 and 32. He says, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. I love it when teachers teach like that. When they take something I don't understand and they say, well, let me begin with something you do understand. And when you say, oh, I understand that. And they say, well, that's what this is like. Well, that's what he's doing. He's starting with a known and helping them understand an unknown. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. What's the simple principle here? It's a part of the DNA of the Lord's church. The kingdom of heaven on this earth is the church. And that's being prophesied of what the church, once it starts in Acts 2, what's it going to be like? And he says, it's going to be growing. And you look through Acts 2, and what do you see? You see it beginning in one city, and you see it beginning with one group of 3,000 people. But you turn pages, and what do you see almost on every page? You read about the church multiplying. You read about the church increasing. You read about the church going from country to country to country. Why? Because that's the DNA of the church. Why? Because we can post numbers in a record book or a bulletin on a board? No. It's because every number is a soul. We want growth because we care about souls. Well, how's that growth going to take place? Look in verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leaven. You knead out some dough, you leave the leaven in the cabinet, and nothing happens to the dough. You knead out some dough, you put a little bit of leaven in the dough, and what happens to the dough? There is great increase. You know what the leaven is here? The leaven is God's people taking the gospel to the world. The only way there's going to be increase in the world, it's a double combination. It has to be the gospel and people taking the gospel. The Great Commission? The Great Commission is us. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. To who? To every creature. Go all over the world, every country, every city, every tribe. What do? You take the gospel. All right, go back one paragraph. Lord, what do you want? The DNA of the church is that she's always going to be growing. How is she going to be growing? Christians, disciples of Jesus, are going to have contact. If they're separate, it doesn't work. If the leaven reaches the world, it works. And one of the powerful opportunities we have in Christian education at Free Hardeman is we have the opportunity to take some of that leaven at the most volatile times of their life and to strengthen them so that when they leave Free Hardeman, they go all over the world and the kingdom is strengthened. We have, that we know of, 250 missionaries that have gone from Free Hardeman University. We don't know how many thousands of preachers have come through Free Hardeman University. But listen, it doesn't end there. We have who knows how many medical doctors. I sat with one yesterday morning that has spread the gospel right here in Florida as a faithful Christian medical doctor. How many teachers do we have in high schools and elementaries and higher ed, even other places? How many, just name a profession, do we have that are sharing the gospel where they live? We see the mission of Fried Hardeman and the work of the kingdom being very similar, but definitely the university should be a great support of that work. Let's bow.